Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the H1 2012 Investor Conference Call. My name is Dave, and I'll be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you will be connected to an operator. I'm now handing you over to Mr. Adewale Tinubu, Group CEO, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I welcome everybody to this half-year analyst conference call. I'm going to start by doing an overview of the first half's operating environment, corporate overview, operational highlights, financial highlights, and then we'll take a question and answer session. I'll refer everybody to the presentation, which was earlier on posted on our website, and I'll start on the operating environment, which is slide five. In general, what we have experienced has been weaker growth in the first half of the year. We started the first quarter at 7.6%, and we have ended the first half of the year at 6.2% weaker GDP growth. That's attributable to the disturbances we've had in the north in general, because there has been, in general, a thriving economy in most of the sectors. In terms of crude oil prices, we've seen a slight reduction in our crude oil production, as well as a reduction in the crude oil price on average. The crude oil production has declined from 2.4 million barrels per day to 2.29 as of April, and the crude oil price has declined significantly from $113 a barrel to about $100 a barrel in April, and then it ended up being $104 as of the close of the half year. Inflation has been 12.9% by June 2012, and 12.6% as compared to January, when it was. The MPR has remained at 12% since October 2011. In terms of the oil and gas, the operating environment we experienced, the passage of the PIB now appears to be top priority, because it's been handed over now to the National Assembly by the President. The final draft has been released. It's not markedly different from what we have expected. In general, there are provisions for relinquishment of assets by the majors where they have kept assets for extended periods of time. There are fiscal incentives envisaged for the indigenous companies, and in general, the bill seeks to create a commercialized national oil company. So it's along the lines that we expected, no surprises. In terms of deregulation, there's also provisions for deregulation to commence as a result of the PIB as well, too. Question really is whether we would get this act passed this year or next year. And the federal government of Nigeria is also in the process of verifying subsidy payments for 2011, and also has gone back last 2-3 years to have a look at the veracity of payments that were made to companies that have imported. In the power sector, the privatization of the Power Holding Company of Nigeria is on stream. There has been the implementation of the new multi-year tariff order and a general increase in electricity prices. The distribution companies are still slated for the bids at the end of July 30th, and the bids for the old Nigerian Power Holding Company's core assets did go ahead. At least bids were received last week as planned. And the gas infrastructure, there was a declaration of a gas emergency, which is supposed to encourage implementation of gas infrastructure, a fast-track implementation of gas infrastructure, to try and deal with the stranded power plants that either do not have infrastructure leading to them in form of pipelines, or where they have pipelines, they have no access to gas. And this is with the federal government's 9 NIPP power plants, emergency power plants, which are all at various stages of completion, most of them above 90%. In terms of a company overview, our business pretty much is still the same, but for those who are new as investors into the company, it's primarily the downstream, midstream, and upstream division. In terms of the downstream division, we have a 13% market share in the distribution of refined petroleum products across Nigeria, with a large footprint, 600 petrol stations. And in the trading business, we have a 12% market share in PMS importation, and it's the largest indigenous trading operation in the sub-region. The gas division consists of Greater Lagos, Nigeria, which is the Lagos pipeline system, the Eastern Horizon gas pipeline system, and the Central Horizon gas pipeline system, which is in Port Harcourt. So we've got GasLink in Lagos, Eastern Horizon, which is across Akwa Ibom and Cross River State, and Central Horizon, which is River State. And then we do have a completed power project, which is the Akute Power Plant, which is in Lagos right now. That division also has approvals to build several new transmission lines in Nigeria, as well as a central processing facility in conjunction with ENI and the NNPC. In the upstream division, we have the largest swamp drilling fleet in the country. Three rigs working, two rigs working for ENI, one working for Shell, and one under refurbishment, and the drill bits and the total fluids management business. In the upstream division, we have several assets in different stages of production, two blocks in production, 125 and 56, three blocks in the process of being developed for commencement and production over the next 6 to 12 months, which is OML 90 and OML 13, and drilling and appraisal drilling going on in OPLs 1, 3, 4. And we have exploration assets in several other blocks, OPLs 270, 282, 321, 323, and the JDZ. In terms of a half year's operational highlights, we have in the upstream division successfully drilled the OBOB 2 well, which is in OML 56. We're in the process of testing, and the results so far are very positive. We will be announcing the results in due course. That will be hooked up to our existing production system, and it will come on stream over a three-month period. In Akeko, which is OML 90, we're 70% complete on the development of the production facility, the only 30% being the laying of a 14-kilometer pipeline, which is ready to be laid with a weather window to do so, and it's expected that we will commence laying that pipeline in September, and that will be laid to AGIP's facilities in Benin Boi. And then finally, we have signed a farming agreement for Kwaibo Marginal Field, which is in OML 13. We've secured a rig to drill this, and we should be spotting our first well by later September for this. In the Energy Services Division, we have our third rig in the first half of this year, Passion, commenced operations for Shell. The fourth rig, Respect, arrived in the United States and has commenced its refurbishment work, and it will be due back into the country in the first quarter of next year. And so far, the rigs have had a 95% uptime rate. In the midstream, we commenced supply of the Eastern Horizon gas pipeline system, and we are in the process of finalizing our negotiations to commence supply of the balance of the 75% capacity to the Nigerian NIPP power plant in Calabar. GasLink pipeline and Akute continue to generate revenue for the group. GasLink is over 125 customers, and Brave Gas as well too has been in steady production, but we have commenced the expansion of the River State Port Harcourt franchise. And the downstream, the regulation, as we attempted the regulation of the first quarter, was crippling, led to a lot of price hikes, as we are aware. We had a big challenge in terms of being able to import, a big challenge in being able to distribute, and the disruption potentially hampered operations for about 5 weeks during the period in late January and most of February. The trading company, Rwanda Supply and Trading, did maintain a 12% plus market share in the private PMS importation, and this market share is bound to grow as a result of the outcome of the subsidy verification scheme, which has caused a reduction, a substantial reduction in the number of companies which are participating in the scheme today. We have, in the marketing division, we have launched the LPG gas scheme, which has seen us push to deliver 5 million canisters over a 3-year period into Nigeria by focusing on the low level, small size, affordable 3 kg canisters, and it's been quite successful. We continue to do this as a means of substituting current kerosene consumption and switching it to LPG. Finally, as well as in the downstream, we have launched the construction of the midstream jetty by Julius Berger in the port, which will substantially reduce our demurrage and industry demurrage. And that project is a milestone project, and it will be completed within a 15-month period. And we have great hopes in terms of its ability to throughput products at much cheaper cost through the system to enhance our profitability and also earn revenue from third parties utilizing the midstream jetty, because we will no longer have to lighter ships to come into the Lagos Harbor any longer. In terms of our financial highlights, first half of the year, our turnover was 350 billion naira, which is an increase of 31%, and this is as a result of a 49% increase in the PMS price from 65 naira to 97 naira per liter. The impact was 116 billion for the half year as compared to the last year. The revenue contribution from Eastern Horizon, which commenced commercial operations in January 2012, had an impact of 1.4 billion for the first half of this year as compared to last year. The gross margin was 33.9 billion, which is an 8% rise, and that was due to the higher cost of PMS purchases. And we had PMS volumes down in under marketing from 819 million liters to 740 million liters. And this was due to increase in PMS prices as well as the impact of the deregulation I did mention, the attempted deregulation and the labor unrest. Rwanda Exploration and Production Limited lost about 3.5 billion in gross margins resulting from a shutting of the Abo field. The Abo field was shutting, and because we had certain leakages that occurred, and we took remedial action, and that's been resolved today. And that was a reduction, as well as in OML 56, which was reduced. Production was reduced there as a result of negative activity on the pipeline at the collection center downstream in the Agit collection center. Non-interest expenses increased by 10% to 18 billion, and that was due to 800 million naira bad debt provisioning for Rwanda Gas and Power. We had certain industries which over the years do have take-or-pay contracts but have ceased to operate. For example, Dunlop, which divested and closed down its operations in Nigeria, and we have made appropriate provisions for those debts. We have 500 million increase in Rwanda Supply and Trading, which is resulting from bank charges, rents, increases in staff-related costs. And then we have a 300 million increase in non-interest expense in Rwanda Marketing, resulting from increase in staff-related benefits, as well as other costs. Other operating income decreased by 27% to 2.9 billion, due to the deferred rig upgrade revenue of $1.3 billion, which was earned in 2011, and that revenue did not reoccur in 2012. This was as a result of the $35 million lump sum payment, which was spread over a two-year period when we delivered the first rig into operations, because we delivered a rig at a higher specification than was contracted, and we were paid a differential, which was the cost of upgrading the rig from a lower spec to a higher specification. The earnings before interest and tax was $18.9 billion, a decrease of 10%, and the interest expenses increased by 4% to $3.9 billion, and this was due to increase in borrowings of $56.6 billion, and made up of $28 billion increase in import finance facilities. As we also are aware, there have been delays in the payments from the Petroleum Subsidy Fund, and the company is owed approximately $50 billion by the fund as of date. And we had $19 billion for refurbishment costs for the two rigs for Passion and the costs for the rig that has since gone for Respect, which is abroad undergoing refurbishment. And we had an increase in borrowings for OEPL of $9 billion, which is for the development work going on in OML 56, as well as OML 90 Akete. The interest on the Passion rig, which was expensed from May, is $290 million. Depreciation and amortization was $4.5 billion, an increase of 10%. PBT was $10.4 billion, a decrease of 20%. And PAT was $6.6 billion. A decrease of 4% as compared to the last year. PAT was impacted by lower volumes of PMS, as I discussed earlier, and as a result of the strike, as well as a general shrinkage of the market as a result of what I would call the reduction in the GDP in the country. Relatively high inflation resulting from operating costs being almost at par with last year. Inflation is as much as 12.9%. Relatively higher finance costs. We've suffered a 2% increase on average in the first half of this year, from an average of 15% to an average of 17% in the cost of borrowing. And the disruptions, which I did mention, in Abo Field as well as in OML 56, thus impacting volumes produced from 664,000 plus barrels in 2012 to 782,000 barrels in 2011 in Abo, and in 2012 for OML 56, 118,432 barrels as compared to 121,936,000 barrels in 2011. And now turn to the group balance sheet highlights, which is slide 13 of our presentation. The fixed assets increased by 15% to $183 billion, which is primarily due to the refurbishment cost of the Passion rig, which cost $5.9 billion, capitalization of the interest cost of the rig called the Respect, which is in the States undergoing refurbishment, and the development cost of the upstream assets, which are OML 90, pipeline and production facilities, at a cost of $1.9 billion, OML 56, pipeline and drilling on OB4 of $1.7 billion, and OML 125, we've spent $10.7 billion on seismic activity, and our share of drilling of one well in OML's 125, and in OML 13, the Quaibu marginal field site preparation and rig mobilization has cost us $403 million. A readiness for a drilling campaign, which will commence no later than September. In EL, we have paid a signature bonus of approximately $2 million for the Sao Tome and Principe Block 5. In terms of our non-current receivables, we had a 33 billion naira figure, a rise of 14%, which is due to EHGC's gas pipeline and Gas Link Nigeria's spur line construction, the receivables of $6.9 billion. As you will be aware, we run build transfer, build office and transfers with the Nigerian gas company. So the assets, the project cost which we incur in building those pipelines is amortized and prepaid to us on a monthly basis as we sell gas, which we receive on credit from our partners. And we do have a charge, an 18% charge on that gas for to recoup our capital costs. And then 23% for our margin, and the balance is split with the Nigerian gas company. That's what we refer to as our non-current receivable, because the repayment occurs over a 10-year period. We have a stock increase of 39% to 42.7 billion as a result of an increase in value of the imports during the period as compared to the same in 2011. We've had a depreciation in exchange rate from USD 151 Naira to 155.41 Naira per liter. We have trade and other receivables, which rose by 48% to 172.3 billion, while trade and other creditors increased by 41% to 130.2 billion. And this was a result of increasing volume of imported refined products during the period compared to the same period of 2011. We had depreciation in the exchange rate, as I mentioned, from 151 to 155, and commencement of operations in EHGC resulted in additional trade debtors of 3.1 billion and trade creditors of 18.6 billion on the other side. Bank and cash balances of 13.8 billion, which was a 17% decline. Short-term borrowings of 134 billion naira, an increase of 91%, and the short-term borrowings have been substantially impacted by the delays in payments from the Petroleum Subsidy Fund, as well as an increase in the amount of imports which we have done to catch up for lost time in the first quarter of this year. Long-term borrowings have declined by 7%, and we've dropped to 88.9 billion. And equity and reserves have decreased by about 1%, which is primarily just 94.8 billion naira, which is a result of the tip of depreciation and
dividend
payment as well too. I will now pass the house on to Femi Ademo, who is Group CFO, to run through the divisional performance analysis, starting with Orlando Marketing.
Okay. Turning to before I go into the details of each of the businesses, I just want to slide 15, which lays out the contribution from each one of the businesses. Starting off from Orlando Marketing, we have of all the total revenue, 123 billion was contributed by Orlando Marketing, 251 billion by supply and trading, about 9 billion each from gas and power and energy services, while exploration and production contributed 11.7 billion of total revenues. I must say that when you add up these figures, they do not add up to the consolidated financial figures, mainly because of consolidation adjustments that have to be made and some investment activities that occur in the group, which are not necessarily highlighted here. In terms of gross margin, 10 billion was contribution by Orlando Marketing, supply and trading 4.8 billion, gas and power 2.4 billion, energy services 6.2 billion, while exploration and production contributed 7.8 billion of gross margin. EBITDA, 3.2 billion of EBITDA was contributed by marketing, 2.2 billion by supply and trading, gas and power about 3.1 billion, energy services 4.3 billion, and exploration and production 7.2 billion. Profit before taxation, we had marketing contributing 1.8 billion of the total, supply and trading contributing 2.2 billion, gas and power 1.8 billion, energy services 214 million, and exploration and production 2.7 billion. Profit after tax, marketing had a contribution of 1.2 billion, supply and trading 2 billion, gas and power 1.4 billion, energy services 146 million, and exploration and production, 366 million. I must state that as a result of the higher tax rates that you find in the E&P division, that's one of the reasons why you find the profit before taxation being significantly higher than the profit after tax. Most of the activities are on, I've got a fiscal regime that ensures that we suffer 85% petroleum profit tax. And so, generally, there is a significant amount of our profitability that goes towards taxation, especially in the exploration and production division. Slide 16 just shows a distribution of both of the turnover, gross margin, EBITDA, and profit after taxation between the five different divisions that I've just highlighted. Now going on to slide 17, what I will just do is just talk about the differences between the first half of 2012 and first half of 2011, and highlighting the drivers of the differences that that are observed there. In terms of revenue for the exploration and production, there was 11.7 billion for revenue for 2012 compared to 15.2 billion revenue for 2011. The difference in the revenue were driven by two main factors. One was the reduction in the decrease in oil price that we saw in 2011 compared to 2012 compared to 2011. Secondly, we had a reduction in production. There was a 23% reduction in production due to disruption in production during the year in Abu, as Mr. Tinubu had highlighted earlier. Gross margin fell almost by the same margin to 7.8 billion compared to 11.5 billion at the same period last year. And that reduction is reflected in the EBITDA, which went down to 7.2 billion from 10.24 billion last year. Profit before tax was at 2.7 billion compared to 7 billion, and again driven by all the aforementioned drivers. And that then effectively translates to the profit after tax that we can see there. Energy service, in terms of energy services, revenue went up 26% to 9.1 billion from 7.2 billion, driven by the fact that we have since half year to 2011 brought into operation a third rig, and that has been contributing to the revenue, and that's the main driver that you see that can be observed. Gross margin was up 3%. At 6.2 billion compared to 6.1 billion last year. You find that the gross margin has not grown necessarily in line with the revenue, but the main reason why that hasn't grown was because, like Mr. Tinubu mentioned, there was other operating income of about 1.3 billion that we had in one of the rigs for the first half of last year, which was not replicated or repeated in 2012. EBITDA was at 4.3 billion compared to 4.1 billion, in line with the gross margin increase. And profit before tax was at 214 million compared to 818 million. I must state that the reason why you have the reduction in the profit before tax compared to the increase in the EBITDA is the fact that there were two other lines that then got introduced in the first half of 2012. One is the third rig that was brought into operation, the interest that had been accumulating on that rig could no longer be capitalized, and so we started expensing that interest line. Secondly, the capital cost of acquisition of that rig we had to commence depreciation on that, and those two are the things that eroded the profitability of the division. The profit before tax is what has effectively translated into the profit after tax, the 72% reduction in profit after tax. Moving on to page 18, I talk about the gas and power division. And gas and power division, we've got a 21% increase in revenues from 7.7 billion to 9.3 billion in 2012. Gross margin went up from 2.3 billion to 2.4 billion. not necessarily in line with the revenue increase that we saw, but there are a number of reasons why that was. First was because the regime, there was a slight change in the revenue earning regime that we had, and that is what is reflected in the relative reduction of the gross margin. That notwithstanding, we had a 51% increase in our EBITDA from 2 billion naira to 3 billion naira. That reflects two things. It reflects the better gross margin regime that we had, that on the one hand, and then the fact that East Horizon Gas Pipeline, which commenced operations earlier this year, has started delivering to the bottom line. All in all, we had a 67% increase in profit before tax from 1.1 billion to 1.8 billion. And along the same lines, profit after tax from 786 million to 1.3 billion. Moving on to the downstream, our supply and trading division, we had revenue increase from 156 billion to 251 billion. I must state that a key driver of our revenues in the supply and trading division is the sale of PMS petrol. Considering the regulation of PMS earlier this year, which then meant that on a per liter basis, price went from 65 naira to 97 naira. On a liter per liter basis, ordinarily that would have given rise to almost 50% increase in revenue. So effectively, what it means is that there was an increase in volumes, but the increase in volumes was probably more along the 10% increase. However, on a gross margin basis, we were able to grow gross margin from 2.7 billion to 4.8 billion, a 79% increase in gross margin. Along the same line, EBITDA went up from 1.2 billion to 2.2 billion. Profit margins were almost doubled. Profit before tax almost doubled from 1.1 billion to 2.2 billion. And following in the same vein, profit after tax went up from 1.1 billion to about 2.1 billion. Finally, talking about Oando Marketing. Oando Marketing's revenues went up from 100 billion last year to 123 billion this year, a 23% increase. On a volume by volume basis, this actually reflects a reduction in volumes, driven in part by the fact that we had about 3 to 4 weeks that were lost to strikes at the beginning of the year, and for a while there was a bit of shortage in the market, which then meant that even though the demand was there, we couldn't necessarily meet that demand. Gross margins, as a result, fell from 10.7 billion to 10.1 billion, and EBITDA went down from 5 billion to 3.2 billion. The significant reduction in EBITDA is driven mainly by the fact that we lost about a month of sales. Fixed costs are relatively high in this particular industry, and that eroded profit margins. Profit before tax went down from 3.1 billion to 1.8 billion, a 42% reduction, and that's what's reflecting in the profit after tax as well, which went down from 2.1 billion to 1.2 billion. Mr. Tinubu will be taking over and talking about the strategy overview of the company.
Thanks. Before I do that, I'd just like to draw your attention to slide 14, just to have a quick look at the half-year debt position of the business. Overall debt was 221 billion, made up of long-term of 89 billion and short-term of 132 billion. The 132 billion, the short-term debt has been primarily utilized, 66 billion of that amount, to finance PPPIA receivables, inventory in tank, as well as cargoes on water. For the supply and trading division, and that's 66 billion naira. There have also been some short-term facilities provided to support OAS in its refurbishment program of the two rigs, as well as working capital requirements discount facilities for its day rate. In terms of the allocation of the total amount of debt, if 210 billion being the gross debt less the working capital to supply and trading of 66 billion gives us a net debt of 145 billion, and that 145 billion is primarily broken down into under exploration and production at 71 billion, which has really been used for signature bonuses, farming fees, asset acquisition and asset development, and then 60 billion to under energy services, which has really been the total cost of acquisition of the rig fleet, as well as the rig refurbishments that have been fully capitalized till date. The next amount is 22 billion, which is gas and power, which has been the project finance cost of about 17 billion for the Eastern Horizon gas pipeline project, as well as the CNG compressed natural gas plant, which is under construction and will be completed by the end of this year, and a 1.5 billion facility for additional customer connect on the Lagos gas franchise program. I've already discussed the import finance facilities for white products for supply and trading, and the marketing division doesn't have any debt on its books for its own purposes. I'll just go on to slide 21, which deals with the strategic overview of the business, and I'll start with the upstream. In terms of the upstream, we are on course current, which we have at 12 to 24 months. Our current strategy is to achieve the 50 million barrel per day production over a 24-month period, 10,000 barrels a day, of which will be by organic production, the balance by acquisition. We're still involved in having bilateral discussions with the majors as we speak, and we're also involved in other tenders, for example, the ConocoPhillips divestments in Nigeria, which we're actively bidding for and actively pursuing. And I think recent transactions have furthermore highlighted the fact that it is not difficult to seek production of these levels from acquisition opportunities within in the Nigerian space. We are on course on OML 56 to put the second well into production. That's been drilled, very successful, and we are in the process of getting ready to drill the third well. We will be announcing test results very, very soon on OML 56. In OML 13, which is Quaibo, we expect to achieve gross production of another 3,000 barrels a day when the first and second wells are completed. First well is completed, which would be this year, and the second well will be immediately drilled in quick succession. That will hopefully take us by the end of next year, those three projects, to 10,000 barrels a day of production by the end of 2014. In the energy services division, our challenge is really to deploy the fourth rig, which is undergoing refurbishment. We finished phase one of that refurbishment. We were just about to commence phase two of that refurbishment, and we expect that rig back in. They are Shell have advertised for two new swamp rigs to come to join the fleet. Chevron is requesting one new swamp rig. So we expect to see the Niger Delta swamp rig count increase by another three units by the end of next year, thus putting us in vantage position to deliver a fourth rig at decent prices, decent day rates, and potentially look towards being able to satisfy the additional demand that is being created. Shell wants two swamp rigs and three land rigs, and Chevron is looking for one land and one swamp, while Agip is looking for two land rigs in addition to their two swamp rigs. There is likely to be an increase in drilling activity because the Shell joint venture expires in 2019 and will be renewed at a cost, and it's likely that Shell would need to ramp up production to enjoy the benefits of its lease since it's got seven more years to go before those leases expire, and that those leases account for something like 60% of the land area of the Niger Delta. In the midstream, GL4 Our challenge really is to sell 90% of current franchise capacity and expand the existing capacity, and we're doing that with Greater Lagos 4. With Greater Lagos 4, we will increase capacity by another 25% by crossing the river into Lagos Island, into Victoria Island. We are in the process of, we've completed the feasibility study. We are, we've completed the right-of-way study. We're just in the process of doing the environmental impact assessment, and we expect to start construction of GL4 by January. We expect our compressed natural gas project as well to be completed by the end of this year, and on CNG to become one of our offerings by the first quarter of the new year. We also expect additional customer connects and the expansion in the River State franchise, which is Port Harcourt, within the next 24 months. We expect to be able to build out the whole of the River State franchise over the next 24 months because it's a concentrated franchise with most of the areas located around the pipeline source. On the trading side, our strategy really is to continue to dominate the importation of gasoline within the country, as well as to be the leading distributor on the marketing side. We are on the way towards further reinforcing our dominance in this market as a result of, as I mentioned, the advantage of the verification scheme launched by the government is a good way of separating those who do the business appropriately and correctly and those who have defrauded the country and who have abused the scheme. And it's increased the amount of scrutiny available on the scheme, and accordingly has only allowed those who truly have the knowledge to procure, as well as the knowledge and the assets to distribute the products appropriately within the economy, are those who are effectively running the show. And of course, we are number one in terms of volumes imported and volumes distributed across the country. We are further enhancing that position by the launch. It took us 5 years to secure approval to build the midstream jetty, which we're constructing at a cost of $120 million. It's fully funded by project finance. Our equity contribution to the project was approximately 20%, which has been done and completed. And we expect that to be ready in 15 months. And that project is particularly important to us being able to offer the cheapest products into the market, because it gives us the opportunity of eliminating $750,000 per cargo in terms of lightering costs, not just for us, but effectively for about 40% of the product which is currently coming into the country as a result of this capital investment. In terms of the midterm, our strategy remains unchanged, which is to move our production up from 20,000 barrels a day. Our current target is 20,000 barrels a day with 50 million barrels of reserves. Our midterm target is 20,000 barrels a day, moving on to 50,000 barrels of production per day, with the reserve base going to from 100 to 150 million barrels a day. And we expect to do this by further acquisitions. There will be quite a number of significant opportunities which will come onto the market. And I think that the fact that we as a company have gone the extra step of securing the listing of Oando Energy Resources on the Canadian Stock Exchange, which should commence trading by Monday of next week, what it does for us as a company is that it gives us a platform to be able to access international capital to be raised for these acquisitions. And that allows us to focus the Oando PLC balance sheet on extracting value from its current operations whilst ensuring that all future fundraisings for the upstream are done on the TSX platform. We expect in the midterm to commence construction of the Western Franchise pipeline, which is the Ibadan Ilorin Jeba pipeline, which will also be have a spur line to Abeokuta as well. So it's a Western Franchise area of 400 kilometers, which has been awarded to us by the government, as well as the Central Processing Facility, which we have secured together with Agit ENI. For the construction in the midterm. And on the downstream, I think that we would be looking towards expanding the storage facilities, because we will continue to be an import-dependent nation for the next 10 years, and the key aspect in our business would be an increase in our investments in the infrastructure side to ensure that we can bring in products at cheaper prices, and as well as maintain our market dominance. And we'll be looking to build a deep water facility in one of the new port developments, which will occur probably 5 years from now, which is what our midterm is. Our midterm really is from 24 months to month 60, which is years 3 to the end of years 5. At this point, I'll go on to take questions. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and want to withdraw your question, please press star 1 again. You will be advised when to ask your question. The first question comes from the line of Bumi Asaolu from SBN Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks very much for the presentation. Just starting off, I would want you to please focus on the change between Q1 and Q2. So the last 3 months versus the first 3 months of the year. So I understand that you've gone through the slides on a year-on-year basis for the first 6 months, but if you can just look at the Q&Q change, that would really help me. So the gross profit, or actually gross margins, were down Q&Q quite a bit. Now, if I look at the downstream businesses, given that you lost a few weeks in Q1 because of the strike and the reduction in fuel subsidies, I can understand that maybe, you know, that could have affected your gross margin. So as you move from 65 to 97, that is potentially going to bring down your gross margin a bit, but you only lost a few weeks, so I wouldn't have expected that to have a significant impact as what I see in numbers. So what really was driving the gross margin down between as you move from Q1 to Q2? And again, if I look at the upstream businesses, yes, E&P was down, but energy services was up. So net-net, it doesn't look like those two businesses actually had a material impact. So if you can just explain what drove the decline in gross margins, then that would be helpful. Then on Excel, you've not given as much detail on this one. I'm a bit curious as to why, because the last 3 months, or actually the last 3 9-month, 12-month figures for Excel show that it was loss-making. So what impact do you expect Excel to have on OER or Ando on a full basis? And also, what was the valuation, or what is the valuation today, when a new business basically was created? If you can just shed a bit more light so that we can figure out what the impact will be on your financials going forward, that would be really helpful. Thanks.
As between Q1, well, let me start with regards to Exile. First and foremost, we start out owning approximately 95% of the company. The valuation of the business is going to be $300 million as of the commencement of listing. The business will start trading on Monday, and we've signed off the closing. The closing was all done this morning, effectively this morning. There's not likely to be any material change to our balance sheet by the end of the financial year, as a result of the fact that the assets that are being reversed into OER is the producing assets of Rwanda Exploration and Production is what is being reversed into OER. So there will be no material change. The trend is likely to be the same, apart from the coming on stream of OML 56's second well, which would see an increase in production by the end of the year, and also the commencement of production on OML 90 by the end of this financial year. Both assets, 56, 90, OMLs 125 and 134, are all being vended into Rwanda Exploration, Rwanda Energy Resources, which is the TSX listed entity. We envisage that we will gradually move the other assets which we have in the portfolio, under exploration and production portfolio, into under exploration, which is a TSX listed company, into OER over the next 24 months as we achieve different stages of their development and or the regulatory requirements that we normally have. We will then move that in. On a gross basis, the second question regarding the gross margin. Our gross margins in the second quarter was 3.9 billion naira better than the first quarter. The impact of the strike was fundamental because 50% of the earnings of the company comes from the downstream. So whenever we're not allowed to import or distribute like the strike caused, it has an impact. So, for example, in the first quarter, the gross margin was 4.5 billion in Q1 for the marketing division, and the gross margin in Q2 was 5.7 billion. In the trading division, the gross margin in Q1 was 1.296 billion, and in the second quarter, it was 3.6 billion. For gas and power, that's a pretty steady business, as we are aware, and it's also run on a take-or-pay business. So the gross margin in gas and power was 1.2 billion in Q1, and it was about 1.250 billion in Q2. The energy services business as well too was pretty stable, as you're aware. It's a pretty stable operation. I mean, you get paid a day rate. You only suffer a reduction in payment when you have downtime. And our gross margin was 3.2 billion in year one, in Q1, and about 3.1 odd billion in Q2. The exploration and production division, the gross margin was 4.8 billion in the first quarter, and by the second quarter, we suffered a reduction in crude oil prices as well as a reduction in volumes, and we got a gross margin of 3.0 billion in Q2. Thank you.
Sorry, if I can just come back on Exxon. So if I just run those numbers, so Exxon basically will move from a $7 million company to a $60 million company. So you basically paid 130% premium. Is that the right way to look at this?
No, what we've done, is that we did a reverse takeover of an existing shell. The company had two main assets. One asset was a 25% stake in Akekwa, which we are partners of in Nigeria, and they also had an asset in Turkey. So what we did was we did a valuation of their assets and a valuation of our assets, and and the assets we vended into the operation were based on the Netherlands and Seoul's and an RPS independent report regarding the valuation of our assets and their assets, and the merger terms were an exchange of shares equivalent to us holding 95% of the company. The total value of the company upon listing will be $300 million.
There. Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from F.A. Share from Absa Capital Lagos. Please go ahead, F.A.
Hello. My question has been addressed already. Actually, it was on the XR Resources transaction. So that has been addressed. Hello.
Okay. I'll move to the. Shall I go to the next question?
Yes.
And next question is from Salah O'Woody, private investor. Please go ahead, Salah.
Hello. Good afternoon. Hello.
Please go ahead.
Hello.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Yeah, I have a couple of questions. My first question is, being able to understand the number of outstanding shares and also the recent vote that was taken at the AGM to increase the number of shares to 10 billion. Then the second question is, what is the company doing to engage analysts to write a report that will be able to educate and enlighten the investing population? Because looking through your website, I couldn't find enough information.
Regarding what we have is, we have 2.2 billion shares in issue, which is issued capital, and we recently increased the authorized capital to take into account future fundraising as well as bonus share issues, if any, and to ensure that we had enough shares available to us, because as you understand, because of the bureaucracy involved, whenever you do plan a corporate action, it takes time to get the share capital, the authorized share capital increase. So we thought it was a prudent thing to do. The second thing is that we do have analysts who write actively on the company. So I can mention a few. There's FBN Capital does write, Vetiva Capital writes, Renaissance Capital writes extensively on the company, Stambic ICC writes on the company extensively. So if you do check up on them and look into their websites, you see plenty of research written by those four analysts. Also, we have a very extensive website, and I'm actually quite surprised that you couldn't get the information. There's we have a media and an investor relations page located, which is the link to the website, as well as the financials are published, quarterly financials are published, and all information to do with the operations and projects as well are published in the website. It's quite an extensive website, so if you do have some patience and run through it, you will see a lot of the information that you need to know about the business is actually published in our website.
Okay. One more question, please. I discovered that Rwando is a high revenue company, but also having a look at the operational expenses of the company is quite on the high side. Is there anything the company is doing to be able to curtail the level of expenses that is eating very deeply into the revenue that is being generated?
I think the level of operations we have are sustained by the cost of operations. We do have it's a very, very labor intensive business, and if you do look at our statement of value add for the last financial year, we had salaries, wages, staff costs of about 9.5 billion, and interest as well too of 8.8 billion, and then a tax base of 14.2 billion. So from a statement of value, at approximately 23% of the 41 billion that we generated last year went to salaries and costs. 34% of that amount of money went to taxes, and 21% went to the providers of capital. So indeed, I think that from a skew, the company is quite well balanced between its administrative expenses and the value added it generates. However, we continue every day to reduce operating costs by enhancing technology, investing in technology, investing in new management processes, shrinking our workforce on a consistent basis, and optimizing the way and manner which we work, doing outsourcing as much as possible. And it's a constant challenge, but we have a constant program towards managing our cost base.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Dragan Fajkov from RenCap in London. Please go ahead, Dragan.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to double check if I understood correctly. I thought you said that the Canadian listing will start trading Monday the following week or something like that. Can you confirm that, or I heard something wrong?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, Don't hold me to it, but administratively, from our timetable, we should start on Monday. We've already done the press releases, both Exile and Orlando, regarding the closing, and the closing took place today. It's taking place right now as we speak. And when the closing complete, the documents get filed with the different registries in Canada, and once they are filed, then trading can commence. So from our timetable, we expect the trading to commence on Monday.
But because the reason I'm asking is because in that on those press releases, there was a suggestion that it was conditional, and then the companies were supposed to complete those conditions. Is the closing the only condition then that it's remaining?
Yeah, the closing right now is our last condition. There have been a series of conditions which have all been fulfilled, and the closing was the last condition, which is going on right now, which is the execution of all the documents.
And along that line, if just one more question. Clearly, at this stage, it will be very illiquid. Do you plan to raise money with that vehicle anytime soon?
Definitely, and that's the essence of us doing this listing. We will be, so that we do not put pressure on Orlando PLC, for the acquisitions which we propose to do in the EMP space, which will be proven developed or proven undeveloped assets. We will be raising capital in the very near future, certainly before the end of this year on the Canadian exchange. We actually made a commitment to raise $1 billion over the next 4 years minimum to the Canadian exchange as part of our listing requirements.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment, please press star 1 now on your keypad. Star 1. At the moment, we have no further questions, so I'll hand back to your host. In fact, we have a question coming through now from Salah O'Woody, private investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry that I'm back again. Just a quick question about the company going forward. When should investors be looking at beginning to provide returns for long-term investors after they've gone through this major phase of acquisitions and development that the company is currently going through?
Well, I mean, I would say that to a certain extent, there is certainly a reorganization of some sort going on, which has been executed in the year 2012, but it's actually been a reorganization that has been in planning for the last 3 years, which is to see the upstream vehicle listed separately to ensure that we could raise capital going forward on that. Also to see the company get recapitalized in several areas towards an overall reduction in its debt. So, I mean, it's a continuous process, and we expect to, our results are so far on par from last year, barring the write-downs which occurred in the last financial year. We do not envisage any significant write-downs in this financial year, and we will be providing returns year on year. And if you look at the current trend, we are within our analysts' forecast for the end of the financial year.
Okay. The one more question: the reports or the research notes from your analysts. Is it possible to make some of these available on your website? Or will somebody have to always go to the analyst to be able to have access to such information and research notes?
Well, what we can do to make life easy, but subject to legal restrictions of copyright, we can put a link to Vertiva, Stanbic, RenCap, and FBN, who writes on the company. We'll do a link to them such that it makes life easier for you in our investor relations page. So we'll just have to just double check that we breach no regulation.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As a final reminder, if you have a question or a comment, please press star 1 now. We have no further questions, so I'll hand back to your host.
Well, I'll just thank you for supporting Orlando PLC. I think that it's quite clear to the market that we do have a formidable platform in terms of a downstream platform for the distribution, imports of products for a very, very healthy and growing market share. Same principle applies to the gas and power business, whereby the only company providing much-needed gas infrastructure for the local for the local industries, as well as the power plants that are emerging, the private power plants that are emerging. The energy services industry, as we see, fully engaged rigs. Also, at a time when there's substantial an increase in drilling in the land and the swamp area. And finally, in the exploration and production space, where there is a substantial amount of divestments that are bound to occur as a result of the majors seeking optimization of their portfolio, as well as the impact of the petroleum industry bill. So they are, Orlando is positioned to be able to reap good returns from the industry in general as a result of the diversified nature of our platform, as well as the fact that our platform has actually gone from one in which was merely a series of projects over the last years to one in which the bulk of the assets are now in place, working and in steady state in form of their income generation. Efforts will be placed in the next couple of months towards reducing our cost of capital so as to increase the returns and increasing our efficiency to drive new business opportunities. We look forward to a very successful second half of the year. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining today's call. You may now replace your handset.
There you go.